The British pound sees its biggest rally in 7 months as investors see light at the end of the Brexit tunnel. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Despite the UK government's declaration last week that the Brexit trade talks were over, British and European negotiators are still talking. Both sides agreed to near-constant talks as they work toward finalising Britain's divorce from the bloc by the end of the year. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has more on that.
The key to success is compromise. That's according to the European Union's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, who said both sides need to be open to giving some ground.
Despite the difficulties, an agreement is within reach if we on both sides are ready to work constructively in a spirit of compromise. The time is more and more limited every day, and this is why we and the British, if they're willing, must find the solutions to the most difficult problems.
Mr. Barnier said the EU's key principle of fair competition underpinning future trade with the UK was fully compatible with the idea of British sovereignty. This, he acknowledged, was a legitimate concern for the UK government, which has accused the EU of not recognising its newfound independence. So EU diplomats fully expected a show of defiance from London when the British Prime Minister's unilateral deadline for securing a deal came and went last week. Now they feel the serious talks can resume, although both sides still warn they may yet come to nothing. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global shares are lower after President Trump accused Democrats of being unwilling to compromise on new coronavirus stimulus measures. That's leaving investors to fret over the pace of the U.S. economic recovery from the pandemic. The pan-European Stock 600 index is down 0.6%, while stocks in Asia ended down as much as 1%. Chinese smartphone maker Huawei today launched its new flagship phone called the Mate 40, but it's the computer chip inside rather than the snazzy new features that's getting the most attention. The BBC's Cindy Su explains why.
The company that supplied the chips in this Huawei phone is called TSMC. It's probably the most important technology company that most people have never heard of. It actually makes most of the computer chips that go into electronic devices, including Apple's iPhone and Samsung phones.
Now, given the trade war between the U.S. and China and sanctions barring U.S. technology from being used in Chinese products, you'd think that TSMC would be a big beneficiary from this new smartphone. But actually, it's also been caught in the crossfire between the world's two biggest economies, hasn't it?
Well, what's really interesting is TSMC does rely on U.S. technology to make its chips, so it cannot actually sell chips to Huawei. So with this ban, it actually lost, some analysts believe, 10% of its orders. But Huawei, before the ban came into effect, put out a lot of rush orders. So that's one of the reasons why its latest phone contains TSMC chips.
Still, though, TSMC isn't totally on the losing end of this, at least not yet. Last week, it said it expects a 30% jump in 2020 revenue because demand for computers, smartphones, and other work-from-home technology has just been through the roof during the pandemic.
Yes, COVID-19 has actually been a really positive thing for Taiwanese tech companies and tech companies around the world, actually. The Trump administration has issued a new order recently to stop selling U.S. tech products, including semiconductor manufacturing equipment, to a Chinese semiconductor maker called SMIC. And that's actually a competitor of TSMC. So basically, on the one hand, TSMC is suffering from not being able to sell to Huawei, but on the other hand, it's benefiting by having one of its competitors being basically knocked off the map. But some people say that in the long run, this could actually spur the Chinese government and the industry to grow at a much quicker pace now that they know they have to be self-sufficient. So in the future, this could actually grow a much bigger rival for TSMC right next door.
The BBC's Cindy Su in Taipei. Thanks for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you.
Okay, so a few days ago, I went to the post office to send my election ballot back to the U.S., and I was the only one with a letter-sized envelope. Everyone else had big packages that were bulging with clothing that they wanted to return. That's because nowadays we're not allowed to try clothes on at the store, and that has pushed people to do even more of their shopping online. That, in return, has given Royal Mail, Britain's main postal service, an idea, as the BBC's Will Bain told me.
So, I don't know what your house looks like, Victoria, but ours, the hallway in particular, it looks like sort of the departure lounge for every plastic bag from just about every retailer in the UK. Pretty sure that's a picture for lots of people listening around the world, right? As we do more online shopping, especially when we're not allowed to try stuff on or we can't go into shops and look at it and see if we really like it, we think, I'm not so sure about that. And we want to send it back again. Now, Britain's Royal Mail, they're responding to that with a really interesting idea.
And what is the idea?
Well, your postman or woman who comes to your house and delivers your mail can be booked to also pick up your mail and take it away again. Small fee, about 90 cents, and a maximum of 5 items. So they'd have to come to my house quite a few times within the week to do it all.
Sounds like you're going to be keeping your postman busy. And I've just got one lonely package waiting to be returned. Now, Will, you spoke to Mark Street at Royal Mail, who told you why they've launched this program.
This, of course, reflects the changing appetite, the fact that there's more and more of us doing online shopping, more and more of us making returns. In the first 5 months of the year, parcel volumes rose 34%. So we saw 177 million more parcels.
Now, Will, how is this economically going to work for Royal Mail? Because much like USPS, it's struggling with funding, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Not made a profit again this year. That 90 cent charge will help cover it. But also the point Mark Street was making to us is these workers are already out there and they're emptying the van. So all they're doing is filling up the space that they've already emptied back out again. So actually, it's probably just sort of a more efficient use of their time and the space in their vans is what he argues. Now, if it gets very popular, they've said they'll have to respond to that, maybe put more vans on the route. But right now, it just seems to be efficiency.
In a way, future-proofing their own business. The BBC's Will Bain. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.